Good evening. It's 7:02, or my time 7:02. I'm in Mountain Time. It is 9:02 Eastern Time. This is the discussion group, and this group was made so that anybody that wants to talk can do so. It's open for discussion. Whoever has the floor can drive the narrative if they like. Those views expressed by anybody talking is their responsibility and doesn't necessarily reflect the NLA in any way, shape, or form. So, with that, I'll turn over the floor to everyone here. And I would suggest you start early, because by the time it gets to late, we run out of time and you haven't got the chance to talk. So, there you go. What would everybody like to talk about tonight? And make sure that you're unmuted. Star 6 to unmute.
That go down through the Chicago River?
I don't know what river this is.
That's the only way I know out of there.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. What you going to run down through there on?
Well, some barges are 700 feet long.
Yeah, the big lakers on the Great Lakes are 1,000 footers. They look great because there's no salt water there. But then you get the Canadian ships in there. They're 770, I think, or 750, so they can go out through the St. Lawrence Seaway. And they look rust bucket-like by comparison.
Wow.
There is a group of sailors. They call them loopers. And they go down through Superior, through the Chicago River, on down to the Mississippi, all the way down to New Orleans, out into the Gulf around Florida, come back up the east side, and go back in to where they started. Do the whole loop. Didn't
wow.
take you a while.
I would imagine.
We're ringing back through you, Terry.
You are? Why?
Well, probably because you got a speaker on.
Oh, probably. Let's see. Let's turn down the speakers.
I guess that to get back to the Great Lakes, you could also go up through the Hudson River, New York State Barge Canal,
right.
Come back into the lakes.
Now, say something.
Hello.
That's it. Now, can you hear me? Can you hear
me? I hear
me
you when
now?
You speak.
Huh?
But there's kind of a steady, low noise level coming out of your mic.
Is that right?
But your absolute volume is fairly low tonight.
Well, I can turn that up.
Why don't you do that?
Does that help?
A little more.
Golly. pretty rare needing that.
You must be tired tonight, Gary.
Must be, or my equipment's tired.
One or the other. Yep. You got a definite steady state noise coming out of your system.
A definite. Oh, it's using a webcam again. Let's flip it.
Wow.
How about, did that change it at all?
It just went away. Oop, yeah.
Yeah, that's my webcam. I told it, don't use the webcam, and it flipped over there anyway. Stupid thing.
But that came right back again. Did it turn on again?
No.
You got two bars running, whether you're talking or not.
Well, that's not good.
No, not really. What's the record tow for a Mississippi River tug? Robert, got any idea?
I have no idea.
I used to be down there quite a bit when I was working with Canone, and they'd raft quite a few of them babies together. I've been on some tugs that have been running down there. They were running two 1,300 horse opposed Fairbanks Morris. Not much RPM, but a heck of a lot of power.
Yep.
And they were rafting, I think it was, the smaller barges they were rafting, 2, 4, 6, 6, I believe. And sometimes they would put a single barge up front to act as a brake. So it would break the water current, especially going up. Pretty interesting how they operate that stuff down there.
It's amazing to watch them come up to a lock and start shuttling barges through.
Yeah. Yeah. Very interesting.
I was thinking the number was set by a steamer, and it was like 40 or more barges.
Mm-hmm. Could be. They got some pretty good stuff on there. On that river system.
So. I know for just shifting them around, and Japanese made one that has like a big sucker on the front of it. It just comes up to the barge and it plants this thing. It's a tube about 5 foot in diameter with a rubber gasket up against the barge, and they inhale and they grab it and away they go with it. No ropes or anything.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't be surprised so you don't have a submarine that works on the same theory.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
It'd be like a jet engine underwater.
Yep.
Would imagine something. Hey, I've been getting into this 1871 more and more. Was strictly an act of treason.
Of course.
Has the president... It took all three branches to make it into treason, and that's how they got that 1871 in. But does the president have enough power that he could nullify that?
Good question.
I know he's got. I'm pretty sure he's got the power to establish the act of nullification through the House of Reps. But that isn't going to happen with the current feelings amongst everybody involved. So I just wondered if he could, by another way, start a decertification of it.
Nobody has bit the bullet and tried that.
Yeah. I don't know. Just any more I look at anything that I write lately is we're under an act of treason by the government. You can't hold the people or the persons, however you want to look at it, responsible on account of they're all dead. But you can hold the office through the act responsible. So I would think that there'd be some mechanism in there, and it probably would take the president and the House to establish sort of decertification, but I don't know. I think there might be another way, but I don't know for sure. I'm just asking, you know, just throwing it out. And I yield.
Okay, the record was set. Let's see if this is really by the Miss KD that towed 72 barges. That's a lot of barges.
Yep,
it's about 13 acres of barges. I wonder how long it took it to go through a lock.
Oh, jeez. Quite a while.
Well, here's another one. It did 9 loads and 73 empties. That's 82. That's a lot of barges. And here's another one. There was an 85 barge tow.
Yeah. How long did that make it?
Well, it said the one was 13 acres. What is a standard barge? A standard barge, there is a definition of the size of a standard barge. What is it, 20 by 50 or something feet? No, no, they're bigger than that. One of her barges was 200 by 35. But that's a big one, I think.
Yeah, that would... Couldn't put too many of them together unless you, on an intermediate stretch, you tied them off at the side and then start breaking it up and then reassemble it.
Right.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah. But they're good at it. It's fun to watch them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Just for a point of humor, I ran across a video one time of a little toot tug had two barges pushing, and it's in the springtime and the river is flooded, and it looks up and it sees, damn, there's a bridge ahead. Well, the barges were low in the water, you know, they only stuck out about 4 foot, so they went under the bridge. The little tug got up there and he got sideways in the water. And by the time he got up there, and it pushed him up against the bridge, and then he went sideways under the bridge, and he came bobbing up on the other side of the bridge, and there's water running out of the top deck on the pilot house, and the stack is all bent, and the engine's still running, and then he takes off downriver trying to catch his barges. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
You saw a video of that?
Yep. Yep. I sent it to my brother.
How could he possibly do that?
Well, it can be done. I watched it in real time. It didn't take him long to get sucked under that bridge, I'll tell you.
Yep.
If he hadn't got lined up sideways and tipped over, he would never have made it. He got hung up, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
But the hull was up against the bridge, and it was smooth enough, it just slipped under. The whole thing kind of went underwater almost. Yeah, the skipper was still holding on to the wheel, and there was water running out of the wheelhouse.
Got more guts than I got.
That's a fact.
Yeah, they got some of them down there that's got the wheelhouse is hydraulic.
Yeah.
They can lower and raise the wheelhouse. Pretty interesting.
Yeah. We're going under low bridges, huh?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is Jim here. Hey, I was wondering, all this information that you're collecting on this Organic Act of 1871.
Yeah.
I was wondering if we could get a memorandum of law regarding that as to how it relates to the Constitution, you know, because it's just another unconstitutional mandate put against the people, you know.
Right. No, it's, yeah. I just term it as treason by our own government.
Well, yeah, basically. But I mean, once we can find the, you know, chapter and verse of where it violates and stuff like that, then maybe we can get a memorandum of law written on it, and then it'll be a done deal. And if someone does want to take, you know, if we want to add it into the judiciary, then we already got it decided that, you know, we have it all figured out.
Sure,
you know?
Yeah.
You know, and that kind of goes for anything like that Militia Act, the one there that set up the National Guard, and that's mm-hmm. obviously unconstitutional. There's not supposed to be any forces like that. The Dick Act, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So stuff like that, you know, we can get it together and kind of piecemeal and ask if anybody can find anything on it, and then someone could task getting it compiled, and then we could get a, you know, one or two page memorandum of law relating to that.
Well,
and get it on the files, you know.
Sure.
That's what I was thinking the other day when you put that on Skype and sent it to me, which I think you sent to a lot of people, but that's what I'm saying, you know, anytime anybody's got something that they think is wrong like that, well, then we should get it all cut and dried and figured out into a statement of law that we could use if we wanted to go down that road.
Well, you know? Yeah, the whole act is readily, I don't know if it's readily available. I think I picked up part of that off from NLE. I have to think about that, because sometimes I get too familiar with something, then I lose the way of it, you know. So anyhow, I can put something to get together. Even I think I'd bring up the whole act. I think I got it here someplace, but yeah, that can be done.
Well, you know, we're asking for these people to do an hour a week, you know? Mm. So what we should be, you know, is asking is to just read through this act and, you know, become familiar with it and point out any of the irregularities. So we get a lot of people that point out the same thing, you know, maybe 5 or 10 that would go and do that. Just sure. Assign a task, you know, just grab one of these, you know, like the Dick Act or even the SAFE Act in New York. You know, apparently it's unconstitutional for them to enforce all these gun regulations, but then give the police agencies nothing, when in reality, statutes are what the police agencies are for, are they're subject to it. So if you're going to have equal protection under the law, then you really don't, because the police agencies can carry these guns, carry 15 shots in their guns. But all the other law-abiding people are not allowed to carry only 7 shots. So that would just declare it under that statute, that which I can't think of right now. It's the one that Carl Miller used to always talk about. You know, where you can't be doing that. It's under am jurisprudence. He would always say, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. And if it's
right,
if you're given a section. Yeah, if you're giving a section of the population a pass on it, however it is, it's not enforced, then it's null and void on its whole, you know? I used to quote a bunch of them when I listened to Carl, but that was 5 years ago.
Yeah.
I wonder if he's, I don't think Carl's alive, but I wonder about Bill Thornton. I don't hear anything from him, you know?
Yeah.
But,
Carl was in the Vietnam.
Yeah, that's what he was saying.
What did he die of?
Oh, I don't know, but I heard that he had passed on.
So many of them guys are dying from Agent Orange.
Well, he was a fireman.
Our little town, we've lost almost all the guys that went to Vietnam. They're all dead now. And there was probably 25, 26 of them.
Yeah. That was so nice of them to do that to them, huh?
Yeah.
Well, at least most of them lived long, healthy lives, you know, but...
Yeah.
But it eventually gets you anyway.
Yeah.
The same
thing. Yeah, I think that other you were talking about, that comes under the Equality Act, the section in the Constitution. Everybody is equal.
Oh, the 14th Amendment?
Someplace in there.
I thought the 14th Amendment only applied to the blacks.
Well.
And only for federal cases.
Yes.
Since when does the Constitution apply to everybody? I thought the Marbury versus Madison settled that.
Well.
Yeah, right.
I just, personally, I don't go beyond the 13th Amendment. And I like to, currently I'm, we've got a, I don't know. I think this country really is getting away a lot further than a lot of people realize from the fact that you, like here in our city, we have a assistant city manager who does not take an oath of office, but can hire, fire, and everything else. She's also a bar attorney. Now, in our county of Van Buren, we have a new treasurer. The other one resigned. I think she got feeling a little too much heat, and she figured it was time to bail, and I think that's what she did. And the new one is the wife of a county Republican with the state, and she is also a bar attorney. So I've been pushing the original 13th pretty hard. I want to get that back active. And I do believe that because their boss lady of the union they belong to is the queen, I don't think you can get any more noble than the lowest form of royalty, which is an esquire, which is part of the echelon for the queen. So I've been kind of angling that way, and I try not to get involved in statutes, even federal or state. I try to stay away and just been writing everything lately in strictly common law. So, I don't know. We'll see what's going to happen with some of it. You could say, yeah, I'm building a case with some of it, and I am. I'm not going to sit here and tell any different. There's going to become a point in time that this stuff is going to reactivate itself, as I see it. And when it does, the guys and the gals that's already got their foot in the door are going to walk right on through with it. There will be quite a change in everything. And I think it goes all the way up to the Supreme Court, they're going to have to change because they're going to start feeling the heat pretty soon. Enough people are getting educated that they understand what the VAR is and how it was put in, and I think you're going to see quite a bit of change, quite a bit of pressure anyhow. Hey, you.
Yeah, I think we need like a Me Too movie related to the bar, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just start accusing them of, you know, basically what I like to say is having sex with us without our consent, you know?
Yes, exactly what it is.
So, and that's what the Me Too movement is. So maybe we should just do a Me Too movement and say, you know, this bar attorney brought me in there, didn't do nothing, you know? He just took all my money, basically, just, you know, gave me the shaft.
Well, hate to say this, but if you're going to live in this country very long, you're going to get used to that fact, but more than one way, anyhow.
Yeah.
The good point is jurisdiction. I hang a lot on that, but especially into land patents. So yeah, that means you have to be up with that.
Pardon? Yeah, you should touch base with Gerard on that land stuff. He wants to get big into that anyway.
Yeah, Gerard sent me something, and I redid the whole thing for him. I haven't sent it to him yet, but...
Yeah, and that's another thing. We need a memorandum of law regarding land patents and stuff. I mean, if they're still lawful, then we need a memorandum of law so that people can get explained about the land patents, you know? And then when there's footnotes in there to tell them where they can go to read court cases on it and stuff like that, then they can research it even more to use it on their own cases, which I think is what's going to come about. You know, it's going to get to the point where people are just going to, you know, it's nice to rely on the grand jury, but you shouldn't have to. You should be able to adjudicate the case pretty much yourself.
Correct.
And that's where we have to start going, because they're, you know, like I was saying the other day, if we ever got the, got back where we had a sheriff that wanted to call a grand jury, then obviously we're going to have to use the district attorney to help us out in doing these cases to be lawful. And if he's sitting going against us, then obviously we're going to have to put him on notice and say to him, you know, if you're going to be the district attorney, yeah, you can keep up with your bar statutory crap. You can do whatever you want. But if we come to you in the common law, then you got to put on your common law hat, you know? And because we're still the DA, so we're still going to you. I don't see why we can't. And then if you can't do the job, then we'll just take you out, you know, we'll just put you to be fit for office, and then you get a DA in there that's willing to at least work with us, you know?
Yeah, I think... Go ahead. Now, all I was going to say is you got a situation where the bar in this country was created in 1909 out of Illinois into corporates. And I have never found the corporate end of statute versus law. And pure law is not corporate in any form. That has all been kind of leveled off, knocked down through the art of thinking that statute, whether it's federal or state, is law. No, it's just compiled decisions. It's not law. I consider law basic law from the Bible and from, you know, Magna Carta on down, and then you have your layer of USCs and state statutes. And to me, they do not come up to the level of law. Basic law doesn't hardly ever get changed. But statutes, how many is there? 100,000? 200,000? How many? There's a lot of them. And they change all the time to meet the need. To me, that's not law. I consider that conjecture. And that is how I consider the Supreme Court of today running on conjecture and theory. I don't consider them rendering decision upon the law of the law. But that's my own personal view. I yield.
Yeah, I was reading today how they how the people now have to have this so-called straw man just to deal with corporations, because a corporation is on paper and your straw man is also on paper. So if that's the case, why do we have to be a straw man? Why can't we go ahead and say to the corporation, well, if you're going to come and deal with the people, then you have to come over as in mono versus mono. So your straw man is actually one of the people.
Mm-hmm.
So with dealings with us, why do we have to be subservient to working with them? They should be subservient to working with us if they want to.
Well,
and then if they step out of line, then their articles of corporation can be called into question and then just dissolved if they're found to be not in congruence with the Constitution. So this way, they're the ones that the onus is put on them. See, now we're over there sitting there, oh, well, you're in the wrong jurisdiction. Well, you know, I mean, then we're all going to be in the right jurisdiction, and if you guys want to deal with us, then you come into our jurisdiction and deal with us. So maybe we should do in a memorandum of law about the fraud that's being perpetrated by taking us into foreign jurisdictions that are unknown to us. And this way, we have to have these bar-treated attorneys with all these statutes that go through it. No, when you come over to our court, it's, you know, when you come into our jurisdiction to deal with us, you know, then you're going to deal with us on our level of common law. So it's not going to be so cut and dried, you know. So if you're polluting the river, and guess what? There's no statute that says that you can't pollute the river. Well, guess what? There's a statute in virtue that says that you're not supposed to pollute the river. So
mm-hmm.
Then once that happens, they'll be a little bit more under the realm of us, you know.
Right.
So, you know, before John gets to the point where he doesn't want to do this anymore, you know, we need to get all of these down. And I say this, but it's very hard to write these things, but that's what the Thursday night discussion call is about, you know, is which direction we're headed. And, mm-hmm. you know, and it's not like I'm making any demands, but I'm thinking if somebody's good on something like you are on that Organic Act, you know, then that stuff can be compiled, and then it's really just a matter of getting it in order, and then you have yourself a memorandum of law on it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And if John has all the info and the footnotes, he can throw these together in a day or two, maybe even less. He's really that good at it, you know?
But John has put up all his footnotes up on the website.
Yeah, I know. Under law,
so
books,
anybody
right?
could be writing it.
Well, this is true. You know?
And you're one of the few people I know that knows how to write. I am still learning. And I'm messing with this piece of paper.
Well, I know how to. I say I know how to write because I know how to read, and I read what John writes all the time. You know. And just reading what this gentleman wrote on the straw man and how we act with corporations, and then they get made as persons, you know, and that was during some fraudulent act in the 1890s, some court decision. And they found out that there was lying, cheating, stealing back then in the 1890s to get it so that this railroad company can be declared a person so that they're guaranteed constitutional rights, which then went over to all the corporations. So they're saying the corporations have the right to free speech. And I'm thinking, I don't know where you got that from. Well, you know, how about the right to bear arms? Corporations have that, you know, the right to a trial by jury. I don't believe that corporations have a right to a trial by jury.
Well, interesting twist on that is that's where the bar attorney should sit and the bar judge. Then that bar judge and attorney has no business sitting on the side of we the people of the republic. And therefore, that's where they get the jurisdiction book thrown at them. And you can shut it down if you do it right, but you got to stay within the bounds of common law, meaning the current Constitution and the Bill of Rights. But like I say, I don't go beyond the 13th, the original 13th Amendment, because I just, to me, some of the stuff I read in there, and you look at some of the history, it is tainted by the bar, and I stay away from them. I don't want no part of them. Matter of fact, I call the Queen the old lady Lizzie, Queen Lizzie and her gang of barristers, which are the bar attorneys and judges. So that's my feelings on it, and I just stay out of it. I'm not going to get into their court, and I've got. I think I got about 9 or 10 of them hanging fire right now. They won't come out and challenge me. And right now I got 5 of them that involves sheriffs in other counties in Michigan. And I'm not going to quit on it. I'm just going to keep writing it. I'm going to write it under law. I'm going to write it under the Constitution, Bill of Rights. That's the arena I'm going to stay in. And there is no way they can call me out, but I've got a feeling not too far down the road, we the people will be able to call them out without any problem.
Okay.
You're right about their 13th Amendment. The 13th Amendment still is written as the original, but they quit printing it. When they quit printing it, it left a space open. Then they came in and they put the 14th Amendment in as the 13th Amendment, and that nullified everything from that time on. Mm-hmm. People have no knowledge of this, and they just let these guys write anything they want to. They use a shotgun approach. Mm-hmm. They put out enough laws out there that they can pick out whatever they want, and if you say one thing, they'll say 10 other things. The laws were written so that a man with a fourth grade education could understand it, know it, and repeat it. And not one word was to be changed. But they have changed everything to their rights, and they have no rights. The Constitution only applies to the government, not you and I. But right. They have tried to pull you and I into that government, and by doing that, they have really messed up the whole thing. And I think it's quite interesting they keep talking about the 25th Amendment that they want to impeach Trump on. How can they impeach anybody on the 25th Amendment when it doesn't exist? Mm-hmm. They don't know it themselves. I'll back off.
No, that's fine. That's about where I read the whole thing, too. So, like I say, I stay out of the bar and the corporate arena. I will not go into it. And I just operate in law. common law, that's where I stay.
Well, I'm going to come back in. I worked for Caterpillar Tractor Company. I didn't go there because I wanted to. I had a wife who told me that if you don't go and get me a steady check coming in, I'm going to divorce you.
Mm-hmm.
So I went over. I knew they weren't hiring, and I thought I was safe. Well, famous last words. But while I was there, I started watching that contract. And I read the contract from front to the back. And I saw that what they said in the front, they contradicted in the back. And whatever you used in that contract, they would use the opposite. And if they didn't have it printed, then they'd come up with, well, we've got a letter on it. And I saw how crooked that thing could be. And people I thought were really intelligent were living by that contract and didn't have any idea what was in it. And that's the same thing they're doing with the government now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I yield.
I got to take a break for a few minutes. I'll be back.
Anybody else want to use up the last 15 minutes?
What was that again?
I said, does anybody else want to use the last 15 minutes?
I guess this is somewhat aside, but you know how you go anywhere anymore. You go to your doctor's office, you go down to the driver's license bureau, wherever you go, they want to take your picture. Well, the law enforcement people in the country are using those photographs now in virtual lineups. They just show pictures. They grab five people off their, however many it takes, six, out of their stock file and throw them up there with the perp. And almost half of U.S. adults now are in that file. So you think you're free and clear, but you could end up in the lineup at most any time. How do you like that?
Are you talking about real ID?
No. I'm talking about your driver's license photo and stuff. The one you've got already. They got you posed just so, so it's a good one for facial recognition.
Yeah,
I'm going to come in again. As a former police officer, I was a deputy sheriff, and I got into that hoping I could straighten some of this stuff out. And the more I was in it, the more I saw that the people I got into it were turning to be quote-unquote communists. And I didn't have a friend. Oh, I did have friends in there, but they were either killed or resigned. Let's put it that way. And they have just done anything they wanted to. And no matter what you do, you can't seem to get out of it because they have you on record. We don't have a sheriff. The sheriff was taken over years ago, and they were appointed, not voted in. They only were to run 4 years, and then they had to go out of office. Now, the way they used to work it is if you were the sheriff and I was the chief deputy, when your time ran out, I would run. And if we kept things running the way the people liked it, we could trade back and forth as many times as you wanted to, but you only ran 4 years at a time. When they started appointing these people, they quit the 4 years, and they just stayed in, which violated the Constitution. We don't have a sheriff. Now stop there.
The thing is, isn't that when they use your identification or any kind of identification, whether it be your signature or your face, eyes, whatever, you know, isn't that, and they use it against you, isn't that in violation of one of the amendments to the Constitution?
Exactly.
That is being used as...
Your signature is an autograph, not a signature. Remember that. When you autograph something, that belongs to you. No one, absolutely no one, can steal that. But they're doing it day after day.
But don't we give them permission to do that when we pay them for that identification? Because that's contract law. You bargain, you know, X amount of dollars for this this license or, you know, photo ID or whatever. And
okay, let's go a little farther on that.
Okay.
Did they tell you when you signed that they had laws that you were going to have to live with? No. That was a unilateral contract that they claim you volunteered into.
So you're saying...
You do not give them authority to use your autograph or anything.
So what you're saying, it was never a full disclosure.
Exactly. Now you're hitting it, honey.
And how about the 13th Amendment? 13th Amendment allows for voluntary servitude with which, if you do not comply, you're going to be duly convicted of a crime. And
are you using
is.
The original 13th Amendment or the second?
No,
that
I'm using the second one, obviously, the second one.
It
all about
exist.
Slavery. There was no involuntary.
It doesn't exist, honey.
Say again?
It doesn't exist.
It's not supposed to. I do understand that. I'm using the second one. And that is, of course, involuntary servitude. And if
exactly.
you do not comply... And that's contract law. So it did not free the slaves. It made it an inroad so that everyone could be a slave. I was really surprised to find out that driving issues were criminal offenses. So, yeah, that's where I'm coming from with that. But you know, that's what it goes back to, is all law is contractual. So, and a lot of people don't think to look at the contract. All they're looking at is compliance, so that, you know, this doesn't happen to them or that doesn't happen to them or so on and so forth. So they are fearful and, you know, unbelieving that they could do anything on their own. And that's something, human nature, yeah, forever. But, I just brought that up because I knew where you were going. I knew you'd, you know, tie in with that.
I'm going to come in on another thing. They used World War One, and they drew all of the people out of their, off the farms, and put them either in the military or in a corporation. They didn't leave enough people to run the farms, and the few people who were on the farms then were conned into joining corporations because they could make money, and the corporation was guaranteeing their loans. That sounded great, but once they got the people deep enough into their pockets, they came back and they said, okay, you owe us all this money, and it's got to be paid now. If you don't pay it, we're going to take your farm away from you. And that's how all these farms disappeared and went into private corporations. Now, in Peoria, we have very few privately owned farms any longer. Mm-hmm. They're all in corporations. Those corporations don't exist. But they have conned the people out of it. Most of the people are living in the cities now. Most of them, I won't say most of them, but many of them don't have jobs. And they're using this quote-unquote corporation called government to run everything.
Right. Here in Pennsylvania, it's called municipal corporations. Uh-huh.
That's
Municipal authorities, I'm sorry, municipal authorities, and that act came in 1947, I believe, or possibly 1927, with the Municipalities Authorities Act, and that created the municipal authorities that have got the power to bond and monetize the credit of the people. And that's the initial bargain, was the full faith and credit is what our ancestors came here and they offered for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. When silver was taken out of the coin, circa 1965, they breached their contract with the American people who came here and bargained their full faith and credit. We are actually the creditors. They are indebted to us.
They are the criminal.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And most people don't understand. They come in and they take your property, and I've lost everything I had.
Oh,
but I'm still fighting them. And I have five people here in Peoria County who are good enough people that they're fighting them too. They're not giving them the chance to come in and tax everything. But I told them we're fighting a losing battle.
Mm-mm,
now
no.
I am the legitimate governor for Illinois and have been for the last 25 years. However, I have had no authority. I'm still recognized as being the de jure governor. I don't know how long that'll last, because I do understand there's a man running it for it. But if he knew what he was running for, I think he'd be running the wrong direction. I had people murdered who I had in my quote-unquote authority in my group. And I've had them put into prison, and they have lost almost everything. Good old, I can't think of her name, Clinton, Well, I'll go back. I can't recall. It's probably been 20 years ago now. There was a outstanding, and it was one of the top, it was the top motorhome manufacturer in Illinois. And they quote-unquote went bankrupt. When they went bankrupt, they had 9 units that had been confiscated. My attorney general bought those 9 units. And he made arrangements to haul them over to Rockford, Illinois. He had all the drivers and so forth set up to go get them. Hillary Clinton came in, and she somehow squeezed him right out. She sold one to her brother, and to the people that she chose, and I think maybe she might have gotten one. But these had Mercedes-Benz built right into the bottom of the motorhome. It was a garage with a Mercedes-Benz in it. Now, that was a pretty expensive unit. Mm-hmm. And she walked off with all of them. I can never people that was already planned to have them, but they didn't get them. I'll drop, but these people have no scruples, and because they claim they're lawyers, they can get away with anything, which I don't agree with. I yield. Good night, folks.
And Esquires are the younger sons of noblemen, by the way, according to the 1785 dictionary definition. So, there you have it. I yield.
Anybody else?
That's it. 10 o'clock, Terry.
Okay. All right. This has been the discussion group, the NLA discussion group. The views expressed are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect the views or intentions of the NLA, National Liberty Alliance. This meeting is held every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, and everyone is welcome to join in. The number is 605-475-3250. And the participant code is 449389. So anybody can come in and they can talk about just about anything they want. And with that, I'll close the recording.